Hello and welcome back to the Heartsong Yoga Podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Sarah. And we thought we'd talk today about prana. And what is it exactly? I recently had to describe what it was because somebody asked me, and it just took me on a little bit of a journey to search for a little bit more depth of meaning to be able to explain more easily what it is. So roughly translated, it's energy or vital force. And you could also think of it as that sort of livingness within us. And from a yogic point of view, it's like the entire cosmos is alive and throbbing with prana. So it's like it's everywhere. So it's not your breath, although the breath is our vehicle to work with prana. But prana isn't the breath, but they sort of go together, if that makes sense. They
don't. So I have heard that like prana is the breath, and I think that's a bit of a simplified expression.
It is, because when you think of prana then as being this aliveness, this livingness, this vital force within the whole cosmos, then prana's everywhere. So, you know, it's like the trees are full of prana, the water's full of prana, every blade of grass. You know, our food rocks. Has varying degrees of prana. Yeah, rocks and everything. Mm. So that sort of puts a whole different slant on it to take it away from the association with the breath, isn't it, really?
It's really the idea of everything is connected in the universe, like it is all one and separation is an illusion.
And if there was no prana, there's no existence. So that's a pretty huge little concept, isn't it?
Yes, I suppose the question is, if there's no prana, is there nothing at all, or is there just an inanimate, you know, sort of thing, matter, but I don't know. I would assume that prana is kind of necessary
for life.
For things to form.
yes.
And well, because you could imagine a planet that wasn't alive, maybe, but I don't know that there would be such a thing because the planet is alive. So if the planet wasn't alive, is it a dead thing, or is there no thing if there's no prana? I've kind of derailed this into a little bit of an esoteric philosophy.
We're going into the conundrum. Cosmos. We're going out there into space today.
Yeah.
Well, there's this universal
it's appropriate.
Principle.
There's an eclipse going on, or has
there
just
is.
Passed, isn't there?
Well, there's an eclipse today.
Depending on when you're listening to this.
Yes, that's right. So there is this universal principle of prana that prana may be in a static or a dynamic state, but it is still behind all existence on every plane of being, from the highest to the lowest. So it's everywhere. Mm. So it must be present in every form, you know, no prana, no life.
Yeah, it's sort of, it's feeling as well, I suppose, isn't it? It's like sense of aliveness, which is movement and flow and feeling. And I don't mean, you know, like certainly it's easy to kind of imagine prana in a feeling of joy or ecstasy, but I think it's also there in feelings of grief or mourning or
I think so. It's recognizing it's an ebb and a flow. And then I suppose it's recognizing the level of prana, because that sort of comes down to a level of prana, doesn't it? That how if you're thinking of as a beingness or an aliveness, then if you're in that sort of say you're in grief, then your prana levels are probably pretty low, because you would be more closed off. You wouldn't be seeking large amounts of it because it would be too overwhelming for you. You know,
that's where
I
kind of get a bit puzzled with it, though, because if your prana is low, then, you know, either you die or you cease to exist. Which is it? You know, it's like, is your prana really low, or are you just not accessing it?
I think so.
because
the prana
within
you.
Because if it was low, then you know, and then you leave, your soul leaves this body or whatever, and maybe the body remains, but the body still has life force in the sense that it breaks itself down into its constituent components and they all feed back into the great circle of life, which is full of prana. So, is, you know, I find it a little bit fuzzy in terms of, can you really quantify what this is? But
Well, I suppose it's how it's vibrating then, I suppose, because when you think of something from a yoga perspective as the yoga or the prana kriyas, when we work with the prana kriyas, we are managing prana. And so I think when I talk about low, I'm talking about on a spectrum of, you know, sometimes we can be on a high. It's like you can go into a prana-rich environment, such as sometimes next to the ocean when you get all that negative ion energy, that sort of environmental sea prana, and that can bring in that sense of aliveness and really wake you up. Or you could, my experience of collecting my own spring water from the mountain, Mount Donabewang in Victoria, that water was so prana rich that you drink it and it would almost give you a bit of a high, give you a buzz. Whereas if you went and drank water out of the tap, that's prana depleted.
Yeah. I still struggle with it in terms of, but the prana has still got to be there. Otherwise, if the whole philosophy that it's what kind of the universe is built around doesn't really hold.
No, but then it's levels of it. It might be there.
So it's an uneven distribution.
Yeah, because you can manage your prana.
Implies that matter then can exist without prana. If it can be low prana.
Low prana. I mean, we think about when you work with your breath, and so you're using the breath as a vehicle to manage your prana.
Yeah.
And if you refer that back to the prana kriyas, then you can certainly up your level of prana, which then sort of resonates and brings in that aliveness to all the cells in your body.
Mm. And I think the beauty of breath work and yoga is that, and this sort of links back into the idea of, is prana actually just everywhere at all times? And I would sort of say yes, even if you're looking at it and going, well, that water is clearly less prana filled. I don't know that it is. I think it's just that because you don't have to be on a beach, you know, to access and boost your prana. You can do that for yourself with breath work, with yoga, with tools. So, you know, yes, it's nice to connect with nature and be forest bathing, or something that has a lot of benefits, but so I'm not saying that you wouldn't necessarily want to do that, but that you don't, if you can't access those spaces, that doesn't mean that you're stuck in a you know, low energy space.
It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. I'm just trying to use it as an example of how you could get a sense of what this prana might be. But I suppose the most important thing is that it's not the breath, and not to confuse it with the breath.
The breath is a tool to access.
The breath is a tool.
Or manipulate
energy
for yourself.
Mm. Mm. So from what I've discovered researching a bit about the prana, is they're saying from a yogic perspective that prana is not the oxygen or the air that one breathes, and that yogis have proved that one can stop breathing for long periods of time and yet continue to live.
Mm.
And they've done experiments around that. So therefore, it's not the breath that's keeping them alive, is it? You know, it's the prana retained within them.
And it's that sense also of which, you know, if you come away from the reductionist medical model of, you know, once the body is broken, the only way to carry on is to prop it up and live through it. And compared to, say, the naturopathic principle, which is that the body is always trying to repair itself and be at its most vital all the time. Mm. All you have to do is take away the impediments to that. Mm. We're not in zombie corpses that start breaking down and then that's it. It'll never be the same. It might never be the same because we're always changing and evolving, but it will continue. It wants to heal. It wants to fix things that aren't working. You know, it wants to be well. Mm. And that's a force that exists beyond cellular chemistry,
physical form, absolutely. Mm. Yeah. And so I suppose you could say that this prana is a dynamic principle within everything. So there is a quality and a quantity of it that will be continuously changing as you go through life, you know, because you can change it through positive thoughts, as you just said. You can change it through different feelings, yogic practices, breathing practices, and you can sort of train yourself to hold more prana. Or if you weren't managing your energetics, you'd very easily lose your prana, you know. So you can store it within
to it, perhaps.
Yeah. Just like batteries store their electricity and they run down, they can be restored. It's like we can have methods, techniques, and tools where we can boost our prana from our environment, from our food, from the water, from the sun, from the air, you know, and build that back up. So there's many ways of looking at where prana is everywhere and how do we manage
that. I think the most, like, of all those things, like, you know, air and water and so on, like, especially when you consider that there are yogis who can live without those things, it's actually got nothing to do with the physical world. It's the biggest tool you have in managing your own prana is your will.
Your will, yeah, your mind.
Your intentions.
Yeah.
I think that's probably more powerful than anything else, including, you know, walks on the beach or, you know, whether one food is going to have a higher prana or not. You know, at the end of the day, you can transcend all of that, which is how you have those stories of people who apparently eat terribly and have poor lifestyle choices and still don't seem to be affected by it. And then you get others who do everything right and end up getting sick. It's like,
yeah,
I think that sort of speaks to the fact that, yes, you know, there's different ways to manage your lifestyle, but at the end of the day, it's going to come down to you and your intentions and your emotional energy blocks and how you deal with those.
And so it takes a lot, though. What we're talking about is rare instances. So we haven't been brought up as a society to tap into that power, but it's certainly within each and every one of us to explore and learn. But it hasn't been part of our conditioning as humans on the planet at this time that we could reach those levels, but certainly people have. So it can be done. And it's developing that will. And I think it's that lack of will that gets us into these sort of disease states and sort of downward spirals that we need to become aware of. And then, you know, bring it back to that everyday consciousness. What can you do to help raise your prana? Then come back to those things. Yes, you can use the power of your mind, but few people will be able to do that. So therefore, use what you can. If you find that going to the forest and the prana from the trees brings your levels up, then go to the forest. If you find it walking on the beach and that power from the waves gives it to you, go to the beach. If you find it in a fresh orange, making yourself fresh orange juice, or, you know, it's like use what you can and be aware of. Everything is filled with prana, and different things will suit different people, but we need to consider how we manage that and know that we have within us the means to change that and restore it and boost it and come from a very prana-rich aliveness.
Yes, I suppose I feel like there's a lot of, I see, and I'm not saying that that's what you've just said, but in this kind of discussion I see a lot of judgment around what is prana-filled and what isn't. And I think you can, you know, it doesn't have to just be fresh, natural, whole. It's you can get a sort of connection from reading a story or you know, you might, it doesn't have to be, there's this, I don't know if you've ever had the experience of like you're driving a vehicle and it's on its last legs, but you need it to get somewhere. And it's like your force of will is what holds that bucket together until you make it, you know. I don't know if anyone's ever had that experience you know, it might not have worked except that you were so determined that you were going to make it to your destination, though this vehicle was, you know, should have broken down probably. And cars have prana, you know.
Everything does.
Everything does. So I think, you know, it's not necessarily just a case of you will only find it in natural, whole, pure, you know, let's go out of technology, out of society environments. And actually everything, humans by their nature imbue things with their will and their power. So it's everywhere. And how can you use the environment that's around you to your benefit and to the benefit of others? And you know, and take back that power in your life of, yeah, you've got the power to, like almost like magic, to keep a vehicle limping on until it gets to where it needs to go. You know, it's a, I mean, there's also the sort of theory that I think Annette Noontill in her book, The Body is the Barometer of the Soul, she has a whole section on when things go wrong with your car that is representative of things in your life.
And, yes, well, yeah.
It's your mode of transport, and so it has some meaning in our society. And obviously in a prehistoric society, well, that wouldn't hold at all, but it does now. And so I think it's a very transformative evolutionary system that, you know, we move forward with in quite remarkable ways.
Anything's possible, but yeah, there is. But so, yeah, willpower is something that needs to be developed.
It is, and I don't mean the for like, you know, that kind of energy is not sustainable long term. You couldn't drive your car around like that every day, all day. You know, it's like you would become exhausted. But it's certainly something that I suppose once again ebbs and flows. You know, you're going to have periods where you can be at that high peak performance, and I think I've certainly experienced this. not to do with driving, but to do with that you have a high work output, a deadline coming, it seems impossible, but you're going to make it, and you do. And then you need to pull back and relax, because you can't live in that high focus space all the time, channeling that much energy. It's sort of, you need to ebb and flow with it. So it's actually probably not bad sometimes if you're low, you know. So sometimes you probably do need to have those periods where you're like, okay, I feel, and this week is probably a classic example for many with what's going on in the world, in terms of, you know, planetary alignment. If you're having a week where you're feeling low and flat, just be there, you know, that's okay. And then you'll climb back out. And so it's not about feeling vital and energized 100% of the time.
No.
Yeah, it's just about noticing those rhythms.
It's noticing. It's very much about your energy management, I suppose, and acknowledging that prana is, you can receive it external or internally. It's not solely external sources. You can self-generate it.
It's kind of, if it's everywhere, it's both at all times, isn't it? You might get it from patting your cat. Your cat might get it from coming and knocking over your pot plant.
Food for thought.
Indeed. Let us know where your kind of experiences are in terms of how you manage your prana and what works for you, and or explore it for yourself and see
where it leads you. We'll be back next week.
We will. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.